All of those songs have a little different light, a little different cast as we celebrate our 60th anniversary. So thanks, Paul. Well, good morning, Peninsula. How are we? All right. Trojans are not great. I haven't mentioned it yet. Kind of like, what's there to talk about? I don't know. But anyway, this month, we are celebrating 60 years as a church family. It's been 60 years since a group of 33 people committed themselves to the founding of a church, this church. And I think that's a big deal. There are challenges when you start a new church. Statistics say after 4 years, a third of those churches don't exist anymore. A third are not self-supporting yet, and a third are self-supported and independent. Now, we had no outside body to support us or fund us when we began. They just kind of started it, which probably led to its health long term. They weren't dependent on anything outside of us. The demographics were in their favor. I mean, it's a growing community back then. It was a lot of young families. There weren't a lot of churches. There wasn't even a city. No Rancho Palos Verdes when we began. But it is not the age of our church which demands celebration this month. The median age of a church in America is 67. I did not realize that. We're young. We're babes. But what demands celebration is that 60 years later, we're healthy, we're growing, we're still loving one another for the most part. But that hasn't always been true. When I came, there was no 30th anniversary celebration. I'm just saying. But God has been good, and He's been good all the time. So I am here this morning to introduce our plan for November of 24. And that begins with our theme verse that we've selected. We've selected the last two verses of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul closes out the first half of his letter to the Ephesians with a prayer. And the prayer is really a window of our souls. We learn a lot about Paul as he prays, and I think we learn about a lot about ourselves if we actually listened to us pray. What we pray for, we care for. And the reverse is also true. What we don't pray about, we don't care about. And it's a challenging thought, and we can't escape its truth. We can say all we want about how much something means to us, but if we never bring it before God in prayer, do we really care that deeply about it? What we pray about, we care about. Now, in our home group, we are doing an inductive Bible study these days of the prayers of Paul in the New Testament. All that means is this: we pick a prayer and we do some observation, interpretation, and application of that text in the small group, and to be honest, it's going really well. We've only done one. Come on. Let's be really honest. But that one went good. But why are we doing that? Because it struck me that prayer in the New Testament is often very different from what God hears from me. I wonder if we have let the health and the wealth gospel that we don't really preach and don't like, but has that philosophy of Christianity subtly invaded our prayer life? Or at least influence how we talk to God? Are we praying like Paul prays in the New Testament? I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about our health. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about finances and all of that. But what I'm saying is, what dominates our prayers is probably dominant in our theology. So let's listen to Paul as he prays in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 14 is where the prayer begins. And he says this: "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." We're all one in this family. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." As he begins this prayer, he acknowledges this church thing is a hard thing, especially in his day. You're merging Jews and Gentiles in one new thing called the church. And because our greatest need in that kind of a situation is for spiritual power, that's what he prays for. Nobody likes pain. Nobody likes hard, difficult circumstances. So it's natural that we pray, get rid of my pain and get me out of this circumstance. But the problem is that those two things can overwhelm everything that we pray about. And we don't pray about anything else. We never pray about what's really important. Do you know where Paul was when he wrote this and prayed this? He was in a Roman jail. He was, most believed, chained 24 hours a day to Roman guards. But he never mentions that until the very end of this letter in chapter 6. And his request is not, oh, pray that I get out of here. It's not, Lord, you know, pray that I'll... He prays, pray that I would be bold for Christ, even though I'm in these chains. So the prayer isn't, Lord, take my burdens away from me, but rather, Lord, give me a stronger shoulders to carry the load. Do we ever pray? Make me powerfully strong in the inner man to walk where God is leading. That's the heart of this amazing prayer. And everything flows from that one basic request. All of that to say, our Diamond Jubilee is the last two verses of this prayer, and it's a significant prayer. And Paul ends it with these words, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, you want to memorize that this month? Will you join with me? Why? Not because it's a good star in your crown to memorize a verse. But maybe on Thursday while you're eating lunch, you'll think about that. Or Wednesday night as you're trying to go to sleep, you'll think about that. Because that will cause us to make this a part of our lives. So I'm challenging us to memorize that this month. I don't care what version. Pick your own version. But what I am doing this morning is providing us with an overview of what's ahead for this month. Andrew's going to come in about a couple minutes to explain the theme and how this verse relates to that theme. So what is the grand plan to celebrate our 60 years together? Well, I've invited some legacy authors to share in the back page each week. This morning, Jeff Jamba, our former youth pastor, wrote the back page. I've invited two very special homecoming speakers for the next two Sundays. They are pastors today, but they weren't pastors when we knew them. They each grew up in Peninsula and are now serving full-time in ministry. I think it's important to remember that as people come and go, sometimes it feels they go more than they come, right? But they take a piece of us with them. And many have come through Peninsula who have and are today serving Christ with all of their strength and energy. So, two locally grown people making an impact outside the walls of Peninsula. Next Sunday, I've invited Timothy Notcheff to come and preach. There he is. You remember Timothy? And right next to Haley Yunkerman. There's Timothy. He'll be here. He is the middle school pastor and the young adult pastor at Beach Point in Huntington Beach. Yes, that's where Andrew's father is the church. That's where Andrew grew up, our youth pastor. So he's coming. He hasn't preached all that many times. But Timothy has the gift. Timothy is amazing, and I think we're going to enjoy that. And then I've invited Andrew Garland to come preach. He's the little one. The big one is his father. As a child of Ken and Karen, he obviously grew up here, but he's also today making an impact in the kingdom. He is the senior pastor at Shore Life Church, also in Huntington Beach. Why do they always go to Huntington Beach? What's wrong with PV? He's served there since 2007. He spoke at our 50th anniversary 10 years ago, and when we spread that the special guests out all over the year, but he always does an amazing job, and I'm really looking forward to having Andrew come. But then you are stuck with me on anniversary Sunday. Oh, I know who to blame for this now. But, you know, it says nothing to see here. Look at young Pastor Jim. I think there is something to see there. That's Danny, my youngest. Isn't he adorable? That was a long time ago when Barney was a thing. Are you up there, Sir Dan? Is he there? Oh, yeah. There he is. So, I didn't grow up here, but I grew up in a very different sense here. And so, there's no telling what I'll say. So, there you go. So, what's our plan? Our plan for this month is we've got these two special speakers and then me on anniversary Sunday on the 24th. And then at 5:30 p.m. on the 24th, we are going to gather. At this point, we're going to gather outside the fellowship hall at 5:30. We'll go in. We'll do a dedication. It'll be done. Yeah, wow is right. I heard this. Okay, it won't go on. We'll do that. Then we're going to have charcuterie and desserts in the fellowship hall. You can look upstairs, downstairs, inspect all the work. We'll come back here for worship. The choir is singing. The full praise band will be here. If you haven't been baptized yet, and this whole last series has got you thinking, maybe I really do want to commit myself publicly, that I believe, and I want the church and the world to know that. If you're ready to say that, we'll do baptisms that night, and we're just going to have a wonderful celebration. We have new merch. Oh, we got merch for you this year. We got stickers. If you buy a ticket for the anniversary dinner, there's one per family. We have new grocery bags. I'm saying, we listen to you. Somebody asked for one, so we got it. And we got some other stuff. Andrew will show. Those things are free. The new water bottle, $20 next Sunday. We're not that loaded with money. We can't give them out. But he'll show you that as we move forward. So, one piece, this is where you're going to get uncomfortable, but oh well, that's what I'm here to do, make you uncomfortable. One piece of our celebration is that we want to give you an opportunity to build into the legacy, the future of Peninsula. We've known since we began the work over there in the fellowship hall that we would need to raise funds to equip the kitchen. It was never part of our original budget, and we made that clear. I don't want to talk about it today. I just want to introduce the concept that our goal is to equip the kitchen, if we can, as soon as possible. Right now, it's an empty shell. It's just a room. Everything's been gutted, but it's ready just for new equipment and ready to go. It'll be wonderful to have a functioning kitchen that's larger than a postage stamp for use at the church. So our goal on our 60th anniversary is to try to raise $60,000. That'll equip the kitchen fully, completely usable for us. So $60,000 for our 60th. The design is in place. There's no waiting for approval. We order it, and however long it takes the company to provide it, it's then no waiting, all right? At least on our side. So there's a lot of pieces to this celebration, and I'm excited that we can make a statement that we're grateful to God because it's all about Him on this month. So Andrew's going to come. And he's going to explore really how our theme impacts our lives and this verse as well. So, Andrew?
I get the water bottle right, you know. Well, good morning. He got to do the unfun part, so I got to do more of the fun part. Fair trade. I want to start off just telling you a little bit, me real quick. In 2017, I was a 22-year-old kid. I was in my final semester of undergrad, and I was trying to solidify what was coming next. I only had a few weeks left, and what I decided to do was kind of go on one of those church staffing websites, and I sent out my application to a bunch of places. I'm not really sure, though, why I did that, because I had a plan in place. I was hoping to return to the place where I had just finished my internship, a place in Long Beach called Arbor Road. Thankfully, though, that didn't work out. And if that didn't work out, I kind of had a fallback option at my home church. So I'm not sure why I decided to do this, but I did. And everything changed on April 9th, 2017, at 3:28 p.m. I received an email from a Pastor Jim Welch, and it read literally this: Andrew, our search team met together to review resumes this afternoon. Yours has piqued our interest. We'd like to get to know you better and we'd like you to get to know all of us better as well. I'm writing to see if we can set up an interview and if you're still interested. Well, at this time, I was still in the Midwest in school, and so we set some things up. We talked on the phone a bit, set up some virtual interviews. I listened to several sermons on YouTube, and I met the search team. I like Jim. I like the messages. I like the people on the team. It's hard not to. I mean, it was like, they knew what they were doing. They put like Rick Klingspor on there. They put Lilia. They knew all these different things. Lindsay. I like these things, but I wasn't really sold yet. I wasn't sure. Then I came and visited. And I still remember my first time kind of driving up that windy Crenshaw Road with all the green around you. And we take it for granted now, but your first time, it feels like you're going to a different world. I remember coming up here and I saw the newly renovated youth room and I just saw the potential in it, the effort that was put into it to commit to the young people. But the thing that stood out to me most was the community. That was what moved me the most. It was my first time there. I was new. And I was kind of there undercover in a sense, so no one knew who I was. Yet you guys made it feel like I wasn't new. Made it feel like it wasn't my first time. I felt like I was at home, and I was sold. I don't know what your story is, but whatever your story is, God has you here right now. Whether it's for a season or for a lifetime, whether you were brought here by a friend, a Google search, an outreach event, maybe you're one of those people that was born in the baptismal, whatever it is, God's brought you here. This is where he has you right now. And we want to spend the next few weeks celebrating that and glorifying God for that. So we're going to dive into the intro of the theme and the theme verse. Jim mentioned that the next few people are going to break it down. They're going to break it down much more thoroughly and much more exegetically than I am. So, you know, you'll get more deeper dive into the scripture in the next few weeks. But I want to just introduce it. And here's my biggest hope today. I want to set it up through your guys' eyes. And you'll see what I mean in just a minute. Let's revisit, though, the theme verse. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, it says, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Yes, I want to break this down, though, with our theme. Three things. The first one in our theme is this, is thankful. If you see on your notes, you're following along, thankful. The first one is this, and this is what we see in this verse, is we're thankful for what God has done. We're thankful for what God has done. If you look again at verse 20, and you dive into really the second half, right, saying, to him has the power of work within us, what is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, we know that God can do abundantly more because he already has done it in the past. He has this perspective, this confidence that comes from knowing God's done it. God's done more. He's remembering what God has done, and this creates this sense of thankfulness that points him to the future. Here's my big idea, and I think it's what we see here. We know that God can do because he's already done. We know that God can do because God has already done. Paul has so much confidence here, and it's because he knows God has done already more than we can imagine, already more than we can ask. He knows God has already created the heavens and the earth. He knows he's already parted the Red Sea. He knows he's already worked through dreams and miracles. He knows that he's already made the barren and the hopeless into blessed, redeemed broken people, redeemed broken families, defeated Goliath, fed the 5,000, walked on water, and rolled away the stone. He knows that God has done. Because he's done this, he knows that God can do. So we start there. We start at thankfulness as a way to give us perspective, to point us forward for what's there. So here's what I want to do for just a moment. I want to look back. I want to ask this question. Right? I want to say, well, what has God done? What are we thankful for as PCC? And like I said, I want to do it through your guys' eyes and not just mine and not just my stories. And so actually, we sent out an email to just a few people and we said, hey, can you answer this question? What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for here? What have you seen God do? And here's some of the responses people said, and these are the two things that stood out. The first one is this. People said, we're thankful that God has fostered a church atmosphere that is built on Christ-like love. Church atmosphere of Christ-like love. God has fostered this atmosphere of Christ-like love. Several people mentioned the welcoming environment, people that go out of their way to make sure you're seen and heard. People mentioned the camaraderie that happens after church on the patio, where sometimes we have to flick the lights to tell you to go home because you just want to stay and keep talking and be friends. The small groups, 100 tables where you're meeting and dining together, outreach activities such as Harvest Festival. One person wrote this, says, I was most thankful for how welcoming the people were. I say this as someone who church shopped for over a year. I wasn't approached or even said hello until PCC, but everybody there was so loving and so kind that I felt like at home, and this compelled me to keep coming. There are more and more responses like that, but one that hit me the hardest actually came from our choir director, Joanna, and I apologize, I had to paraphrase it a little bit to make it fit in here, but here's what Joanna said, and I think this captures the spirit of this church. She says, I'm so grateful to have called this church from my home for 46 years. Probably should have edited that part out, sorry. Starting in 1978 as a member of the college group and later joining the staff to lead music, I'm proof of the welcoming environment. In 1981, this church raised up a young female immigrant like me to become its music director. And this was uncommon in the time, especially considering my Middle Eastern background. Yet the church, its members, its attenders, its leaders, supported me. I'm eternally thankful, especially for the support I received in my early years. This church community surrounded me with love, acceptance, encouragement, helping me to grow in my faith and in my ministry. Looking back, we're thankful for this environment that has been fostered to show Christ-like love. And the second thing that came up time and time again was this. Thankful for the commitment to the gospel in its teaching, but also in its action, both locally and globally. Thankful for the way that we have committed to the gospel. God has let us commit to this gospel in teaching, both in teaching and in action, and how it's played out in locally and globally. Mike Podier said it this way, and I love it. He says, why am I so blessed? There's so many things. I was brought here by my friend, Wick Wickline, who was attending prior to me. He brought me. Through small groups, I found my wife here. Single people can maybe write that down right there. He brought me, right? And I'm so thankful for the journey classes, which is like an intro class into faith, which was a huge blessing for me and many people attending. I'm so thankful for the Bombo missions, who impacted all the lives of the people there and the people going. I'm thankful for the trip to Israel, which has deepened my faith, and the huge blessing that was. The Christmas tree lighting, Harvest Festival, small groups, Ken's group at Norms, the preaching at Beacon Light, the choir, the band, seeing the youth ministry and the children's ministry thriving, but most of all, certainly not least, he says, is the preaching from Jim and all the Sunday that or all the teaching that takes place at PCC. What's so encouraging to me is that we have stuff like Sunday sermons, we have stuff like Sunday schools, small groups, midweek classes, places where people have definitely learned more and been impacted and had their faith grow. But time and time again, you mention that doesn't just stop within these like four-ish walls. There's more than four, but four-ish walls. But it overflows, right, locally and globally to reach the neighboring communities and the world. And we saw that at Harvest Festival just this week. You all raised to the occasion time and time again to serve and show others really what it means to follow Jesus, to show them the gospel and how we live. It says, able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, right? What do we know? We know God can do because he's already done. He's already done so much. We're thankful. We start there. We build there as our foundation because it gives us perspective as we look forward into what God might have for us. From this part of thankfulness, we move into our second part of our theme, which is grateful. And if you're like me, you might be asking at first, what is the difference? It might take a second, but here's what it is. We're thankful for where we've been, for what God has done. We're grateful now for where we are, for what God is doing here and now in the present. We're grateful for what God is doing. We're grateful for what's happening now, how he's moving in our community now. Grateful, as verse 20 says it, and I'm not going to do this enough justice, so I apologize, but this verse, this line in here in verse 20 that says, the power at work within us. We're grateful for this power, this present power at work within us. This was such a great reminder to the first readers and to us today. This great reminder that, yeah, we start with an attitude of thankfulness, right? We start by looking back, but it doesn't stop there. Right? It's not all about just looking backwards. Jesus didn't want his disciples to get stuck looking backwards, to sit up in this like upper room locked away and just reminisce about the good old days of when he was there and when he was around. He wanted them to be grateful that the Spirit was there. The Spirit was empowering them to continue on the story. I think it's an encouragement to PCC as well. We look around at these banners and we see all the amazing things God has done. But the story doesn't end there with that last banner. Our story here at PCC is still being written. So we're grateful for what's God doing. We know that God can do because of what he's already done. So what is God doing? Here's the big one that you all mentioned. We're grateful that PCC is growing young. We're grateful that PCC is growing young. How many babies were born in the last 18 months? We're really putting a lot of pressure on that nursery. It's getting some work. We might need to retouch it up with some paint in a little bit. Michael Schaefer wrote this, and I love it. He says, we've been part of PCC for 3 years, and from my point of view, I've noticed that more and more young couples are attending the services. This is what we need to have a thriving family church. We need to keep them and bring them in. That's awesome. Here's the thing, though, and this is what I love even more. To grow young effectively doesn't happen by, like, cool strobe lights or, you know, like, fog machines or preachers with, like, $1,000 sneakers. It doesn't just happen from that, okay? That's not how you do it effectively. We like going to some of those events. It's fun to jump around for a week or two, but that's not the effective way to long-term grow young. The real way to do it, the right way to do it, is it happens only when the older established generation buys into the vision, when they believe it and they want to be a part of it. That's the only way it can happen. And time again, you all have. Listen to these words from one of our families with kids in our church. It comes from Alan DeWitt. He says, the current ministry stems from the faith of the older generation and the leaders, as well as with the support of the current ones. I'm grateful for the dedication to a healthy children's ministry in all its various forms, to the mentorship by Pastor Bruce that I've had through thoughtful preparations and weekly services, and for the ways you've given. You provided options for everyone, regardless of age, to get plugged in and involved in PCC and its ministries. Those aren't my words. These are words from families in our church saying that to you. That's the work that we've had. That's what we're grateful. Something is happening. Can you feel it? Can you see it? There is a power at work, and it's something that can only come from God. So here's what I say. I encourage you to lean in. I encourage you to lean into that. Lean into what God is doing now. Because if you do, like so many people in this church, you will catch the vision. You will catch the vision. You'll catch that gratefulness. And if you lean into that and what God's doing now, you'll also lean into the hope for what could come. You'll also lean to the hope for what could come. Here's the last one. We're hopeful. We're hopeful for what is to come. The final thing we hope to see kind of in this celebration is, again, not just looking backwards or not just looking in the moment, but we're looking for the hope that is to come. We know God can do because of what he's done, and so we know there's more to come. In the verse, it says, abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. And it also says, following that, all generations, forever and ever. Here's what's interesting. It doesn't, and sorry for all the double negatives coming up, but it doesn't seem to imply or say that we're not supposed to hope, that we're not supposed to ask, that we're not supposed to imagine, that we're not supposed to have dreams. Paul's not saying like, hey, you just need to sit back and just kind of like let whatever happens, happens, or let the chips fall where they may. He's not saying, you know, don't dream. I think he's saying God is bigger than our dreams. He's bigger, more capable. So dream bigger, right? And dream for his glory. We're growing young now, but what could that mean for the future? Carolyn Wade put it this way, and I love it. I'm greatly encouraged about the young families and couples who are currently calling PCC their home. This gives me hope for the future. For the future of our church, and it gives me the future of our world. This is the generation that will continue to carry the gospel to a hurting world. And I like this. I don't dream that PCC will become a mega church or renowned church, but rather it will continue to grow more and more into a place where Christ is lifted up, where people can find truth to God's redemptive work, and a fellowship of a community that cares. I also hope that as a congregation, here's the great part that we move to, that we'll become more and more outwardly focused on taking that light that we have here through Christ into the dark places by hands-on service to individuals and to groups in the South Bay. We know that the most needy will not come to us, so we need to go to them. We're hopeful for what God can do. Here's the exciting thing. Again, I think as we catch the vision, as we see what God has done, we gain that perspective, we lean into what God is doing, and we gain a hope for the future. Hopefully what that does is it inspires us to join in. It inspires us to be a part of it. It inspires us to say, okay, all this stuff is happening. There's so many cool things about the on these pictures and on these walls. Let me go find myself or find someone I know. What about the next one? Don't you want to be on the pictures when we do the 70th? Now you can show someone around and like, look, I'm in this. It gets us hopeful to join in. And let me close out with this kind of last thing, right? I want to read this last thing because I think it ties it all together and it provides kind of this hope. As we see the hopefulness, we're inspired to be a part of it. This comes from Allison Dote, and I like it. It says, Peninsula's strength as a church family is that God has used ordinary individuals to fulfill his extraordinary plans. PCC may not be the most highly visible or flashy, thankfully. It thrives with a passionate and engaged congregation. I found that the true rewards of being a PCC member have come when I've actively invested in the church community. Developing a meaningful relationship and discovering one's spiritual gift requires more than just attending Sunday services. When I show up on a Sunday expecting to just be entertained or to seeking a feeling of virtue or checking off a box, I miss the point. Because church is not something we attend. It's a family where we belong to and contribute. The real treasure lies in becoming part of the body of Christ, in finding a place to serve in fellowship, and enjoying the community. Through consistent and internal intentional involvement in Bible studies, small groups, mission projects, and other opportunities, we experience the richness of community. And she says, I have experienced that. This is the consistent investment in God's work that transforms us as we pour out into others and serve the body of Christ. And here's the line that I want us to take as our call to action. Just this, don't just go to church, be the church. The sense of hopefulness as we catch the vision, right? We look back and we see all that God has done. We see what God is doing and we gain a hope for what is to come. I can't just help but to join in. I can't just help to be a part of it. Don't just go to church, be the church. Jim gave you this simple but practical way to start, and I'm building off it. This week, this month, but starting this week, spend this week, perhaps, just memorizing this verse, meditating on it, meditating on this theme, this thankful, grateful, hopeful, meditating on this verse. As you do for this week, leaning into it, afterwards, ask God to inspire you. Ask God to fill you with the hope of what is to come, the future ways you can join in. And when they come to you, don't hold them to yourselves. Tell us, tell others, get excited, be a part of it. All the time I get people that come to me and say, hey, I have this great idea for the young adults or for the youth ministry or something like that. Someone said, hey, I have a great thing that would be great for if young adults did this. And I said, great, can you lead it? Be ready to get excited and to join in and be a part of it to follow it up. You join me as we pray. God, as we just come before you, we celebrate all you have done, all you're doing and all you will do, Lord, just let us in that be filled with perspective and excitement on you, on who you are, the person you are and all you've done, Lord. pray for this church and this community, Lord, that we take these words of the members, that God, that let it inspire us to be thankful for your mission, but join in the vision you have for us for the next year and the next 60 that follow. God, we hand this over to you. What is to come, and we pray this in your name. Amen.